Hello, everybody. Oh, my God. Well, here's the good news. It's Dave Weiner, and it's November 11th, 2006. Here's the bad news. I just recorded a half-hour podcast, and I had the settings wrong, and I recorded exactly nothing. And I said at the end of the podcast that, well, you know, this wasn't necessarily the best podcast I ever did, even though the ideas are pretty good. Because I thought the ideas, it had to be a lot to get me out of sort of the hiatus I've been in. I just haven't felt like doing a podcast in a while, and I decided to go with the feeling. But then after the election on Tuesday, I said, wow, you know, there's a lesson here. And when I realized what the lesson was, I said, well, first I'm going to try talking this over with a few people. And then after I've had that chance, I'm going to try to do a podcast because it's an important idea and it's a moment of reflection for us. So I ended the podcast. You're going to find me saying this through the whole thing. One of the primary rules of podcasting is don't do it twice, because when you do it the first time, it's fresh. The second time, you're just always going to think, well, did I say that in this take or did I say that in the last take? And then I'm always going to be thinking, well, like I said in the last one, well, unfortunately, because of the glitch, because of my stupid mistake, nobody actually got to hear that. So anyway, that's behind us. The song that I played was kind of a, you know, cliche, I guess. But definitely, let's see. Let me get it up here. Let's see. There we go. Let's try skipping into the middle of this, okay? Because the beginning's kind of... There we go. Let me turn the mic over so y'all can hear. Get on my knees and pray. Here's the big line. Okay, let's not get fooled again. What do you say? That's the Who, and, you know, we won't get fooled again? I don't know. I guess it depends on how smart we are, huh? We sure as hell weren't fools on Tuesday. We showed those guys. They lied and they lied and they lied, and they said, cut and run, stay the course, wave the white flag in surrender. They thought they had us when Kerry said something silly, and they thought they could twist his words to make it sound like he said something else. But we didn't fall for that. No, we didn't. Somewhere, at some point, in this process, enough of the independents decided this is bullshit and we can't do this anymore. And that was that. A branch of government switched parties and all of a sudden we've got our democracy back. So there was a flaw in the system, but there was a check and a balance and we did the right thing. And that's something here. I'm going to turn this down now. That's something that we overlook, and with our cynicism, sometimes we forget. And I learned this one when I did jury duty. I learned it in a very, very practical way, that we all will come to the right decision if we're given the responsibility and we feel the responsibility and we trust ourselves. We will figure it out. There's another important lesson here, and I'm reminded of what the conservatives, what the red state people, what the middle of the country was saying to those of us who live on either coast, They told us that you don't know how to talk to us, and you don't know how to listen to us. So we kind of took that to heart. We tried to figure out what could we do better. And now, look at it, the way it flipped around, and think about it. Because even though you were able to elect a president and a Congress, you still didn't get what you wanted, did you? And so much of the discourse in this country in the last 6 years, when people argue, they don't argue to try to convince people. I don't know why they bother arguing. I think they argue to get an emotional response because that's what they wanted. They didn't want the success. They didn't want the laws changed. Fundamentally, you aren't going to be able to change the laws, no matter how many houses of Congress you get, nor branches of government, unless there is a consensus behind the change that you seek. So, for example, most of the people are pro-choice. It's a fact. A small minority are against abortion. They call themselves pro-life. Ultimately, the same decision is going to be made when it comes to federal funding of stem cell research. We are going to federally fund stem cell research. It's the right thing to do. The same way I strongly believe that while I don't favor abortion, and nobody really does, I don't know anybody who thinks abortion is a good thing. In the balance, I'm not going to try to get in the way of a decision that a woman makes about her own body. And that's the way so many of us see it, that that's the law. And you can't change it. It's not going to change. It's the right thing to do for it to be the way it is. And we need more things that are the right way. And in order to decide what to do in Iraq, and that's going to be a very tough decision, and it's going to be our decision, we're going to have to consider all the alternatives. It's not going to be possible to argue about it the way they argue about things during an election, which, by the way, I don't think we ought to put up with the way they argue things in an election. If they were selling a product, which I think they really are, we're the customer, we're being asked to buy this brand of senator over that brand of senator, or this brand of representative over that one, or this guy, this kind of mayor versus that kind of mayor, that if these were products, these were cars or stereo systems or computers, and they lied so much about themselves and the competition, they would be open to lawsuits on all sides, and they would lose those lawsuits. Because the laws are really clear about fraud. You're not allowed to try to sell a product by lying. That is not a legal thing. You're not allowed to do it. Yet the president openly admitted to lying during the campaign. He said, well, that was before the election. This is after. Before the election, we lie like crazy. We tell you things that aren't true, that we know aren't true. And now that the election's over, now we try to get grounded in the truth. Or a different truth. Well, we got to stop that one. That there, folks, is the problem. Or one of them. There's another thing that you hear, or we were hearing for the last 6 years. It came out loud and clear after the 2004 election that red state people who believe or did elect the president, re-elect the president, said, you guys don't know how to listen to us, and you don't know how to talk to us. Well, you don't know how to listen to us, and you don't know how to talk to us. If you want change, you're going to have to start arguing to convince people, not arguing for any other reason at all. You can't make change happen without the deliberative, collaborative process. We make choices here in the United States, in our system of government, in a collaborative fashion. And you've got to trust it, because that's the system. And it's not a bad system. It works pretty damn well. And so I sort of come back to, where are we at right now? You know, for the last, and there's a lot of change happening now. And not just change happening in Washington. Each of us has to reevaluate what our politics are. You know, for the last 3 years, 4 years, I've been a very strong proponent of voting Democratic. Not only did I vote for the Democratic candidate whenever I had the choice to, I strongly urged other people to do the same because we desperately needed to change course, because the war in Iraq was a very, very, very bad idea. And because the other things, the USA Patriot Act was terrible, the latest thing about military, how we interrogate prisoners, my God, the things that passed Congress and were signed by the president, this is horrible, un-American stuff. Gotta at least stop doing that, and we've got to start fixing these problems. We're going to be left with them long after Bush is gone. We might as well try to put some limits on what damage can be done. And that's been taken care of. Let's really pray that the Democrats don't take the easy way out and that they stand and do the things that we ask them to do to put a stop to this. That what the government, what the executive branch is doing without any oversight or challenges from the legislative branches was just horrible, unthinkable stuff. You know, I had a conversation, several conversations over the last couple of years with a friend of mine, Nick O'Malley, who was the lead programmer, I guess is probably the best way of thinking about him, lead programmer at the Dean campaign, a brilliant young man and an idealist, about what is it that we're really doing, and in the end, how is all this stuff going to shake out? And the best conclusion I think we came to was that we need what I would think of as a blogger's party. We need something where you can come to this party, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, we don't have a position on that, or whether you're against or for federal funding of stem cells, even whether you're for or against staying the course in Iraq or partitioning Iraq or whatever. I think probably the only thing that we have to agree on is the First Amendment and habeas corpus, because without habeas corpus, you don't have any amendments and you don't have a constitution. You know, you can say that you have the right of free speech, but if the government can throw you in jail without accusing you of anything, well, all those rights don't amount to much. So you need the very most basic thing that, you know, sort of an agreement that we're a society of laws, and that's what habeas corpus guarantees us, that it's not, we don't live in a monarchy. We don't live in a dictatorship. We live in a society that believes in due process. I think if people really understood how this law could apply to them, and that to be considered a enemy combatant is really no protection at all. They can say that this is a law that's meant to go against terrorists, but there's no definition in the law of what a terrorist is. These laws are very flexible, and as we've seen, the truth is a very flexible thing in the hands of today's government. We can't let the political system go on the way it's been going on. The press doesn't do an adequate job of checking against this. Their idea of challenging the political powers is to look for any sign of backbone and challenge them on it, which is exactly the wrong thing you want. You want them to say, well, this is what we're going to do. You know, it's okay, sometimes they're wrong, and sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But you want to know what they really mean to do. And the press, whenever Tim Russert catches somebody saying something substantial, he presses them and presses them on it as if they've committed some horrible crime. I mean, suppose a candidate did say, I think we ought to be out of Iraq by the end of the year, and then the end of the year comes, and God forbid we're not out of Iraq. I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. But more importantly, the press didn't challenge Bush when he went into Iraq. the press carried the water for the government. They were asked any of the deep questions. They just went along as if this was part of the war on terror, when, God damn it, everybody knew that it wasn't part of the war on terror. We've been so cowed into believing that facts, that reality is something that only stupid liberal East and West Coast people care about. Well, that didn't work. And we're now out of that mode, by the way. Yahoo. I mean, let's get down to it. I don't care. I'm not going to try to talk to people in the Midwest or the South or the far or the mid-far West, you know, Montana or the mountain states or whatever. Just because you don't live on a coast doesn't mean you're stupid. And it also doesn't mean you're absolved from thinking. You're part of the process. You're part of the deliberation, and you're part of the collaboration, as are we. So don't ever tell us that our opinion doesn't matter either, because that's what we've been hearing for the last 6 years. That if you're not a Republican, and you're not a very specific kind of Republican, you don't matter. And this is how we knew, by the way, that there was no hope that the Republicans were going to bring democracy to Iraq. That this was a complete bold-faced lie, and it's so obvious on its face. They don't believe in democracy in the United States. They don't empower Democrats. If you're part of the 50% of the country that didn't vote for Bush, your opinion doesn't matter. That's what Rove was saying. Bring out the base. Fuck everybody else. Well, it didn't work. It got us into a real deep hole there in Iraq, and it screwed the goddamn Constitution. We were able to dig out of this one. Now let's not get back into it. So I say the problem is not Iraq even. The problem is, how do we solve problems in this country? How do we exchange ideas and not put labels on people, and we just consider the ideas? We're now going to have to consider a bunch of different options for getting out of Iraq. You can see that the framework's been set in Washington for considering those now. The dichotomies of the war presented by the Republicans during the election were wrong, they were lies, and they knew it. They knew that Rumsfeld was going, and they didn't say Rumsfeld is going. They know that we're going to be leaving Iraq. They know that we're not going to win in Iraq, because they can't even tell us what victory is in Iraq. Because you don't win an occupation. Because that's what Iraq is. It's not a war, and it's not the war on terror. There's no Al-Qaeda, or there is, okay, there's some Al-Qaeda in Iraq, but that's not what's going on. What's going on is a struggle for control of a very rich country by several factions of Islamics, Kurds, Sunnis, and Shiites. And the idiocy of this war going into it, the sheer lunacy of the idea, I don't know what they were thinking. What were they thinking? Does it even matter? Well, I do know this, though. We have to start thinking. And we have to start thinking like we're all on a jury. And we have to take our responsibility very, very, very much more seriously than we have been. We've been delegating the decision-making to a lunatic process, if not a bunch of lunatics, to a bunch of people who are totally not trustworthy. We need to change that. If you've been listening to me for years, you know that I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. I think you'll see that the change happens now very quickly. And a lot of us who have been propping up the Democratic Party, I think you'll see a lot of change. I think now is a good time to be thinking about what you really want, because the people in the United States have the maximum power that we've had in quite some time. So that's the thought I want to leave you with. I'll be doing another podcast probably Monday morning, maybe tomorrow afternoon. That one probably won't be about this subject, unless there's a lot of response. If you feel moved to comment on this, my blog is scripting.com, S-C-R-I-P-T-I-N-G, Scripting News. Scripting.com, and in the right-hand margin, you'll see a link that says comment on today's posts. Well, just click on that link and go ahead and say what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And so, my name is Dave Weiner, and the name of this podcast, by the way, is Morning Coffee Notes. Not that it's, I make this, say this all the time, it's not morning, and there's no coffee going on here. See you again real soon. Thanks.